This is Brock Bowers of the Las Vegas Raiders, and you're listening to JT the Brick on Raider Nation Radio.
It's the JT the Brick Show.
If you're in a relentless pursuit of finding the competitive edge in everything you're doing, you got to be on.
100%. I expect to win every time I come out on the field. I don't care what we're doing. You know what I mean? It's every drill, everything we do. I'm expecting to win.
Your silver and black home to sound off for over 25 years.
This is going to be a battle. This is going to be physical. This is going to be old school football.
Yes, sir. As a great man once said, just win, baby.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate. We're ready to roll. We already have been live on YouTube. We got our own channel, JT the Brick YT. We got an elite group of partners and sponsors. We're brought to you by Golden Entertainment. They own the Strat. Over 70 PT's taverns around town. Our good friends are a big part of what we do, building your fantasy team, getting your fantasy draft going. The Monologue is brought to you by PT's, the best happy hour in town. 5 to 7, midnight to 2. I don't need another tavern. Tavern group. I got PT's. I got the king of all kings. PT's, proud partner of the show. Very proud of that. And we're ready to roll today. We're a week out from NFL games. We are a week out from NFL games starting. That would be the Thursday night game. As you know, coming up between those Eagles, those dirty, stinking, green, drunk birds up against the Cowboys, who are still America's team. Some people say, why are they America's team? They haven't won in a while. It doesn't matter if you haven't won in a while. American history goes back before 1776. The NFL goes back to before the Super Bowl in 1965. I'm the age of the Super Bowl. There was a sport before that. The Yankees won in 1927 in the 50s. And the 60s, that counts. We don't erase it because you're 22 years old. I heard fans this morning crying, well, the Raiders haven't won in 20 years. I've never seen a Raider title. You're right. The Raiders have won 3, and they won an AFL title. Okay? They're the team of the decades. It's been bumpy. Pete Carroll's going to change that. Welcome in, everybody. Let's go. We're a week out, and Bobby, I want to say this. I got to tone it down, man. I'm going too hard. Like, I'm going too fast. You know, I'm going too fast. We still got summertime radio. My wife's like, what do you got planned for the weekend? I go, nothing. And I go, I apologize to my wife that I'm not out of town. Today, I should have called the bosses. We have a few here and said, I'm out of here till Monday or Tuesday, and let's do this right. But no, I'm not. I had a two-hour project meeting today with Rod Woodson. He's the top 25 player of all time, not top 100. Top 25. So news pending coming up for Rod Woodson and myself, which I'm really excited about. We'll tease that one. And then next week we start our grid. We get all of our regulars in on a biweekly basis. Really, there's only a couple of people we're going to talk to every week. Lee Sterling will join us today from Paramount Sports. He's going to give you 3 games for free. We got that gambling element. We got Jeff Sherman over at the Westgate. He'll join us every other week. Bill Krakenberger, America's favorite sports gambler. So we will have gambling aspects on this show, but it's mostly going to be about football. And for those who are tuning in, it's not going to be all about Raider football. It's going to be about the NFL. We run a sports talk show here. We give you plenty of Raiders, but we're going to give you plenty of the other football too, for obvious reasons. We want to hear about every team in the NFL. We want to embrace fans from every NFL team around the country to come in here and watch live or listen on the podcast, and that means a lot to us because we can only grow the show so much on this platform. We want all NFL and college football fans to come in too. So everybody's welcome. We do the NBA and obviously baseball with October right around the corner, September, then October, and we got a lot of Dodger fans who listen to the show and Padre fans and fans of all baseball, so we're not going to forget about you. Pete Carroll just spoke. I'm going to play it. My philosophy is genius. You'd rather hear Pete Carroll than me. If you already heard it, most people on this platform on the station didn't hear it because we didn't play it on this station. So they're going to get a chance to hear that. Pete Carroll, we're not going to play all of it, but we're going to play some of it here in the monologue. And it sounds like he's ready to go. Kenny Pickett spoke. I got some gal who came on my Twitter, at JT the Brick on X. Some lady, I think she's either related or friends with Kenny Pickett. She came on my Twitter and went nuts on all the haters who don't love Kenny Pickett. I got to find out who she is. We got to have her on because It was like banging at 3 in the morning. You know, I turn my phone off at night, but it's a light on the side of the bed that's going off, and some lady is telling the world how great Kenny Pickett is. So I think it's his aunt or someone, and Phil Villapiano went to same high school as Kenny. So Phil reached out to me and says, do you want Kenny Pickett's number? And I said, no. I might say, why would you not want that? Because it's not my right. I don't want his number. If he gives me his number, Max gave me his phone number. I call Max. I don't have Gino's number, but I can get in touch with Gino. So no, I did not say, yes, give me Kenny's number. I stay in my lane. But Kenny is free to call in because he's a good backup quarterback, and he thinks he could be a starter still in the league, and you should if you're a backup. And then I don't think I did a good enough job, and we didn't do a good enough job welcoming back Amari Cooper to the team. Wait till you hear what Pete Carroll had to say about him coming up. He's really excited about that. Also today, as we're counting, we're inside the top 10 of the greatest Raider draft picks of all time. Fun project. I think we did a good job on it, but it really didn't resonate like the all-time greatest roster that we did in the depth of all that. We needed something to get us through the summer. We did. Today, the two are Howie Long and Marcus Allen. How about that for big boy radio? So the two we have today, and Bobby's got sound bites and clips. He's done a brilliant job at this. If you want to call in on Marcus or Howie and the impact they've had on the organization, I rank them inside the top 10 most influential draft picks of all time. You get extra points if you were drafted late. You get extra points if you were drafted like Howie from Villanova. No one knew who you were. And you go on to greatness in the Hall of Fame. But we're inside the top 10, so we'll get into that. And also what I wanted to do today is the Raiders didn't really go out and get a corner yet. So I got a really good topic, I think, to start off the show. And I'll go first, and then please react to it. You should be dialing now. I know I give out the phone number. I do it because it's your last chance to communicate in Raider Nation. There's no other Raider shows. There are some good ones on the internet, really good ones. I don't know if they take calls or not, but this is it. This channel gives you the ability to be a Raider fan and call in or tweet in. I don't read text. I don't read a lot of tweets. I want to hear a human being. I want to hear a voice because that's going away in radio. Again, I worked on this project for 2 hours with Rod Woodson today, and that topic came up. You, the listener of sports radio and the caller, are going away, except on my platform. It's not because I'm a dinosaur and I've been doing this 30 years. Yeah, I've been doing it 30 years uninterrupted. I believe that Raider Nation needs a voice. And reading a tweet, sometimes I don't see the tweets. I'm in the chat, right? We got almost 300 people in the chat right now. It goes so fast, I can't read everything. But you can call us at 702-365-9200 as we open this up. So I was getting into the Raiders' strength and weaknesses because as I turn on NFL Network in the morning or McAfee today, and no one again is talking about the Raiders heading into the season, but they're talking more about the Raiders this year than last year because of Pete Carroll. Really, it's because of Pete. Because of his great track record, he's loved around the league. Everybody who's been in NFL media for over a decade knows Pete Carroll and likes him. So if you look at Fox and ESPN and NFL Network, you're going to hear positive things being said about Pete Carroll. Some of that gets onto the radio or gets on television. So I've been seeing that. And then Geno Smith is garnishing respect around the league. I think most of the people, you can look at former quarterbacks who are on these shows, quarterbacks, and they all say the same thing about Geno. He's a really good player. He's a good player. Derek Carr was a good player, too. Very good player. He didn't win a playoff game. So Geno is getting good praise. We have Ashton Jeanty, the young stud running back. I think most people think he's going to have a great year. And then we have Brock Bowers, who's considered a top player in the entire league. In the entire league. So that's given us some positive press. So as I was talking today about this, what's negative about the Raiders now? Let's get this out of the way today. Let's do a show, and I think this is a great idea just for today because I got to mix in all of our guests and this. But for callers, what's the one weakness of the Raiders? Let's get it out and rip the scab off. Not the Band-Aid. Let's rip the scab off today on the flagship of the Raiders and get from you, the fans, the season ticket holders, the tailgaters, what is the weakness of this team that you think needs to be improved on before New England? So I'll go first. I think the only weakness of the team, which could end up being a strength, is the secondary. It's the cornerbacks. It's not the safeties. Jeremy Chinn can play. Isaiah Polamalu does not have a lot of experience. We believe he can play. Isaiah, you know, when you look at Polamalu, he's not Troy Polamalu. He's not. He's not Ed Reed. He's not Rod Woodson. So as we look at the safeties here, they're good. I mean, Jeremy Chinn played in an NFC Championship game and was part of a team that went from four wins to the NFC Championship game. That was another really cool conversation Jason Horowitz, our play-by-play voice, brought up in our production meeting with Jeremy Chinn. You know, the aspects of being on a four-win team and going that far. And then, you know, can you do that again? That was a really cool conversation. But at the cornerback position, I'm not a big believer in DeCamrion Richardson yet. I just haven't seen much from him. Stokes, I think, can play, but you and I haven't seen him play in a Raider uniform. We don't know. Darian Porter looks really good and was trending to be a starter. He's not. Caillou Kelly, who I watch play every high school game at Bishop Gorman, I believe he was on the state championship team with my son, I didn't think he was going to make the Raider roster. And he is, and he's going to play, and that's great. I'm thrilled for him. Other than that, there's not a lot of corner help, and they didn't go out and get corner help for a bunch of reasons, because it's hard to get corners. Good teams aren't going to let good corners go. And I don't think the Raiders saw so far any corners that were put on the practice squad that ended up clearing waivers that the Raiders had to have. I was wrong with that. I was wrong. I thought that there'd be a corner that John Spytek would see, Jacksonville, New Orleans, Detroit, whatever, some rookie corner or someone that didn't make the 53, they were trying to hide on the practice squad, went up on waivers. I thought the Raiders would get at least one of those guys. They ended up getting a linebacker from the Rams, who seems to be pretty good. He's an edge guy. Edge can play kind of a hybrid guy, which I'm okay with. So with all of that, as we open up the show, the strength of the team, believe it or not, is special teams. Daniel Carlson, did you see him kick in this preseason? I don't know what the hell he's been doing, but his leg is stronger than ever. I mean, he has blown it through the uprights. He'll miss a kick or two, but he's got the distance, and we need those threes. I know Fabian says he doesn't like minus four. I disagree with Fabian on this. I love field goals when we can't get a first down or a touchdown. You're all missing the point. I've been telling you for decades we need 9 points a game. Nine from our field goal kicker. Just nine. That is two field goals. That's six. And three touchdown extra points. That's nine. You give me 9 points a game from Daniel Carlson, we'll win most of the games. So again, that's two made field goals, which is good. A 54-yard field goal is good because you're not going to score a touchdown at the 40. You want a touchdown, you ain't getting one in this league. You better make that field goal. We got the guy who can. Okay, we got the guy who can do that. And then I need three touchdowns a game. We all good with that? We all good with three touchdowns a game? That doesn't count the extra point. That's 6 times 3. That's 18. Okay? Are we good with 18 points a game from Geno? Then I get 3 on the extra points, and then I get 2 more field goals. Do the math. We'll win those games. Okay? So for everybody who says, "Oh my God, man, we kicked a field goal." No, field goals are great. The whole league is doing it. You got guys, that guy from Jacksonville kicked a 70-yarder. You got a guy in Dallas who kicked a 63-yarder. Field goals are good. 3rd and 7, the ball gets tipped at the line of scrimmage. You better kick a field goal and make it. So I like that. I love our punter. Now, I want to say this about the punter. He's elite. He's not good. He's elite. A.J. Cole's elite. I need the ball to bounce at the 9 and kick out of bounds at the 7. I need some coffin corners. I need them starting on their own 7. Not fair catching fair catching the ball at the 19. No. We got a weapon. So the strength of the team is special teams. The defensive line led by Max Crosby. Okay, strength of the team. Linebackers, jury's out, man. The judge just let everybody in the courtroom. We got three older linebackers. As I've been saying, line them up right, Patrick Graham. Line them up right. Now, you might only play with two linebackers because Jamal Adams is technically a safety, but you're making him on paper be a linebacker. He's going to be in there. Darnay Holmes is going to come in as a slot cover corner. You're going to have him there, and you might take a linebacker out. So we're going to play with two or three linebackers. I think they're good players. I really do. I think these linebackers are pretty good, but they have to be lined up correctly. Devin White, at this stage of his career, can't be chasing a tight end and trying to bring him down from behind. No, he's got to be lined up right. And then, you know, I think the offense is loaded. Am I nuts to say it's not loaded? We're going to break the huddle with Amari Cooper, Jacoby Myers, Brock Bowers, Michael Mayer, Trey Tucker, Jack Besh, Dante Thornton, the Silver Surfer Ashton Jeanty, the Hammer in Zeus, and a guy who led the NFL in touchdowns 3 years ago in Raheem Mostert. I mean, we're loaded on offense. We're loaded. We have an elite. No, I won't say elite. That'll drive people nuts. No, take that back. Rewind the tape. We have a very good quarterback in Geno. Yeah. Very good. And then you look at Colton Miller, one of the better players in the league, and then the four other starting offensive linemen have to prove themselves. This isn't the Cowboys 90s, led by Larry Allen. This is not Anthony Munoz. Okay, we don't have an all-star team up front, but I think they're pretty good. So what I leave out? Oh, we got an A to A+, not A-minus coach in Pete Carroll. I think the team's pretty good, but they got to go out and win the games. You got to win the games, man. I mean, I can't tell you the score of the game. I can't. If I would, it'd be like in Back to the Future, getting the scores the day before and placing bets. I don't know who's going to win the games or not. So that people try to rope me into that. I get calls this time of year, Bobby, from shows. They'll have me on. JT, what's the Raiders' record going to be? I go, come on, guys. I'm not going to give you that. I don't know what their record's going to be. I work for the team. I interview the head coach. You think I'm going to say 8 wins and then go sit down with Pete Carroll? You think I'm going to go to the torch and host the pregame show and say we're not going to win this game? Give me a break. Someone give me a bleeping break. I ain't going to predict your wins and losses, but you can. You can do that. A lot of people think the Raiders are a 9 or 10 win team this year. And we found out yesterday from talking to people, the only way that's going to happen is they have to go 3-3 in the division. Have to go 3-3 in the division. That would be splitting with everyone, not sweeping. A couple of years ago, I said, let's sweep the Chargers, let's sweep Denver, and we lose 2 to Kansas City. All right, but come on, let's dip the show in reality. Why don't we just go out and go 3-3 in the division and then go beat Tennessee, go beat the Browns, go beat the Jags, go beat the Giants, you know, and then give me a win that a lot of the media doesn't expect them to win. Give me a win at Houston. Give me a win at Philadelphia, which will be tough. Give me a win at Jaden Daniels in Washington in Week 3. Give me one of those. And then you get your playoff team. That's how you get your playoff team. So we're off and running. The monologue brought to you by the DiCastaVerde Law Group. If you get into an accident, the brothers win. Brotherswin.com. All right, Mike's in Philly. We appreciate that our show is heard loud and clear. How are you? Hey, Mike, go ahead.
9 times, man. What's up, man? Yo, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good, Mike. Thank you. What's happening?
It's great to check in, man. You know, I always check in as a blind dude. Like, I'm always like, yo, it's blind Mike in Philly checking in. Yo, I'm so proud of you guys out there, man. You guys got Chip Kelly. You got Pete Carroll. You know, I'm very proud of you guys because beat those Swifties, man. Beat them Swifties because I want to see you guys come out of the AFC West and beat up Denver and beat up KC. And you might get one out of two out of, KC. You may get, like, come into Philly, beat up my – or at least get a nice game with my birds, okay, when it comes to my – hometown, okay? come in as Philly JT.
You know, Mike, I'm not coming to that game. I almost died at the old vet, and I'm not getting yelled at. When I want to go have a beer at halftime, I'm not getting screamed at by those drunks. So I'm going to avoid the Philly game, but I know Raider Nation will be there.
I have a question, JT.
Yes, sir.
What? Because I don't know the history. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because first of all, I'm going to give a nice shout out to the nice podcast that you did with Looney a couple nights ago.
Appreciate
when it came
that.
To the play-by-play. That was excellent play-by-play. Here's the whole thing. Now, as a blind person, when I listen to the play-by-play, I love the flow of the play call. So in other words, when the pass was caught by the tight end.
Hold on. Dante Thornton. Hold on.
Beautiful.
Hold on, Mike. Let's listen to this because in the middle of your phone call, we have the ability to play my play-by-play call because they're going to go away here in a couple of days. They're going to vanish. We put it here in the podcast for a reason. Yeah. My Dante Thornton. Here it is. Listen to this.
I love it.
Gino in the shotgun, looking left and then back right to Dante to a corner fade. He catches it as the end. Touchdown, Las Vegas Raiders. Dante Thornton right on the back shoulder, and the Raiders are on the board. Not bad there, huh, Mike?
That is beautiful. As someone that loves, loves to listen to football,
who
was, obviously grew up with Merle Reese and, the dirty vet, that you love to call the dirty vet. We have a Hall of Fame broadcaster. So, as a blind person, when you listen to games like that and you hear a voice like that and you hear that, that flow of the play call when it comes to that pass, it's beautiful.
Thank you, Mike.
I want to congratulate you and, moving from the sports talk voice towards a play call.
No, I'm not the play call voice. No, we have Jason Horowitz for that.
But here's my point, JT. Mm-hmm. It's great as a blind person to listen to the separation because sometimes, when you go, dealing with a broadcaster when it comes to, broadcaster / post game, it's a separation that you can't – sometimes people can't do.
Okay.
And I want to thank you for, the right thing. And you're growing up in the business, brother.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate the call. I got to run. Thank you for the compliment on the play-by-play. I better be growing up in the business. I've been doing this 30 years. I better be growing up as Bobby comes to me. But I appreciate that, Mike. Thank you. And as we've – throughout my career, Charger, Dodger, Eric, Mike and Philly, the individuals who can't see and are blind – and call in and listen to sports talk radio are monumental on my life. Really important in my life. I really appreciate that. So thank you so much for that. Jason Horowitz gets the call with Kirk Morrison coming up here as the season's about to begin. Robert in Portland. Big national show today as we go from Philly to Portland. Hello, Robert.
Hey, JT. we got New England coming, and I thought about this. Especially with you bringing up about the cornerbacks, I feel that this season is going to be the depth. The depth is the key, and I think that's what Pete has always prescribed to. And I really am more concerned about the depth as you are in the secondary. But I also know that picking up Adams was a key thing because I think Pete expected this to be, a year of not transition, but a year of, He's got to find out who are his real players. And in third down efficiency on both sides of the ball, that is the key. And we've lost a lot of tight games, even when we've been a rough team the last couple of years. But I think on third down efficiency, if we get at least some blitz packages that Pete is famous for, and I think Adams was brought aboard for that very reason. And I think, Pete, he knows that the cornerbacks are a little iffy, and they're going to get a lot of help, I think, with packages that they didn't do last year. Mm-hmm. What's your gut feeling?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Very good call. I think there's going to be – they gave us such a vanilla preseason. I mean, I like vanilla ice cream. People, what kind of ice cream you like? I don't do a lot of ice cream. I do my damages on Tito's and soda and steak. Shout out to Virgin and J.O.D. and One Steakhouse. I'm not a dessert guy, but when I do get ice cream, it's vanilla. I love vanilla. And the Raiders gave us a vanilla preseason. And I think that's got to help because the league didn't see the Raiders' offense and they didn't see many NASCAR blitz packages. I mean, God, we saw that with Seattle. Do you remember week one, how hard Seattle played and how crazy Seattle's defense was in that first game? It was like they were playing the Super Bowl. We didn't do that here, we in Raider Nation. So I think when you look overall about what this team can do, they didn't show us a lot. So I think you're going to see different blitz packages. I think you're going to see different formations. You're going to see, finally, you're going to see something we haven't seen, someone in motion. Someone in motion on offense. I think it's going to look really cool. Here's Raider O in San Diego. What's happening?
Hey, JT, I can't wait for football. I'm driving right now by SDSU, and tonight I'm actually taking my family to the SDSU football home opener just so we can see some live ball. I wanted to talk about, you know, our weakness. To me, it's definitely the lack of elite linebacker play. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed watching Robert Spillane's, you know, highlights last year. But, you know, even he, you wouldn't say he's, you know, top 10 linebacker in the league. And it's been a long time since we had a major impact from linebacker position, you know, definitely a strong group of three linebackers. Mm-hmm. I want to see linebacker pressure coming up and getting big sacks.
Yeah.
I want to see, you know, good man coverage, good zone coverage. If Patrick Mahomes is looking for an outlet, you know, when we got things covered deep, we got to be able to hang with the backs and we got to be able to make sure people can't escape out the corner. So I think that's definitely something that teams definitely picked on in the preseason. We know we weren't showing everything. Hopefully our scheme allows us to make up for it. And some of the guys, you know, can make some big plays. I was excited from what I see from Jamal Adams. But, you know, we're talking about the more traditional linebacker. I still hope that in the future we get the elite young guy who can play the run and the pass. We know that's a unicorn. But that's definitely an area where you could say we could improve if that person was available.
I got you. Thanks for the call. Yeah, we've been waiting around a long time, a really long time to get a linebacker that can do this. We have a great edge rusher in Max Crosby. And this morning, as I was listening to the morning show with Vinny and Clay and Vince Sapienza, they were taking calls on Micah Parsons being traded to the Raiders. When we come back, let me give you my opinion on that topic. It's a strong one. And it's one that I normally don't have. So the monologue brought to you by PTs, but we want to thank our great partner, as I said, at Virgin Hotels. Cliff is trying to make the property better. They're the home of F1. I mean, they're right behind the paddock at F1. Their pools are fantastic. Their dining's got no boo and one steak. They're bringing back some pretty cool stuff from back in the day, wink, wink. And they got good comedy. They got the theater where I met my wife walking in. So my DNA mentally and physically from being there runs through that old property, which is Virgin Hotels, the rebrand. Head on out there. I'm going to be there Friday night. Friday night, I stop by J.O.D. Have a good one. Have one with J.O.D. Maybe he throws out a steak there. A little seafood salad. Perfect. What do we do with Micah Parsons? We'll get into that. Lee Sterling's going to pick three games for free. Coming up in 15 minutes. If you like to gamble, not many guys give you free plays. It's coming up.
Over the next few weeks of summer, JT will look back at the most influential Raiders draft picks in the history of this storied franchise.
With the 13th pick, the Las Vegas Raiders select
the players only drafted by the Raiders who played in the most important games and also had lasting impacts on the NFL.
Only 12 seconds left to play third quarter. Here's Marcus Allen. Cutting back upfield, and Marcus Allen could be gone. 74 yards for Marcus Allen. And the Raiders are starting to shove this one in the winner's column.
Holy Toledo, Marcus Allen has just claimed full title of All World for 1983.
Marcus Allen, our featured all-time Raider draft pick inside the top 10, the running back. from Lincoln High in San Diego, Heisman Trophy winner at USC, 1982, the first round, 10th pick. How was nine players taken before Marcus Allen? The 10th pick, the great Marcus Allen, played for the L.A. Raiders and the Kansas City Chiefs. He's a Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl MVP, an NFL MVP, the Offensive Player of the Year in 85, the Offensive Rookie of the Year in 82, Comeback Player of the Year in 1993, six-time Pro Bowler, led the NFL in rushing touchdowns twice and in rushing in 1985. And the list is too long to read what he did, too long to read what he did in college at USC. The impact that Marcus Allen is having on this team now is one of my great, great things to tell and stories I like to tell. He was gone from the organization. Mark Davis brought him back. Mark Davis brought him back. And look, we all know the history of Mr. Davis, Al, and Marcus. It wasn't pretty at times. And again, they took the high road to each other. But when it came to Mark Davis assuming control of the franchise, one of the first and proudest moments of my career is I got called from my bosses at Silver and Black Production and said, get to the game early. No one knows. Marcus is going to light the torch. This is in Oakland. And I sat down with Marcus as he came into the Coliseum for his return first time. And I think well over a decade, other than being a player. And it was special. And now my son works with Marcus Allen. I get a chance to talk to him a lot. I see him around. He's always around. And he's completely immersed with the Las Vegas Raiders everywhere. It's great to have Marcus back. One of the most influential draft picks in Raider history as we continue. If you got something good to say about Marcus, it would be today. Mikey in Staten, Italy, who's in Vegas. Again, you seem to be out here a lot, Mikey. I'm looking forward to seeing you this weekend.
100%, JT. I did so. It's 2025. So I'm a big proponent in this AI. And you have, let me preface this by saying, you have the best handicappers in the world. Not because they win, they lose, that happens. But they show their picks, and they stand behind their picks. They could win 10 in a row. They'll tell you they won. Sherman, the crack. They're the best handicappers in the world. So what I did last week, I get that Grok, which is the AI from Elon Musk. And I said, give me your top three college football for week zero. It went 2-0 with a push. I just did it now, JT. I'm going to call in every week and give it to you. So these are the three picks that the AI Grok gave. He gave Nebraska -7, Baylor +2.5, and under 49.5 Ohio State against Texas. So I'm going to call it in every week. We're going to keep track of it. This is the greatest computer mind in the world, JT. We're going to see how it does. I ask Grok, what's the Raiders' record going to be? 8 wins, JT.
Okay, but Mikey, you make a great point. You got some of these gamblers in Vegas, and some of them are good guys. Other ones are there, and they're just sitting there waiting for the hot dogs to come out and, you know, having their bottled water, and, you know, they're just trying to pay their rent, not their mortgage. Why would I listen to them when I can talk into my phone, AI to Grok, and say, Grok, give me 3 winners? That's the smartest computer in the world. It's gonna be right, right? Obviously, football, you're going to get some wrong. But is that the new wave of gambling? Just asked Elon in the phone how to bet these games?
JT, 100%.
Wow.
And especially that these sports books are catering towards young kids. But, you know, when we were growing up, you know, in New York, you're a New York guy. You're betting with Tony on the corner. I know you don't bet. When I was betting on Tony on the corner, you know, I didn't know the weather. I didn't know. Now you ask, you have the computer. If it ever played the chess champion, he would beat him in 7 moves, not like when he lost to him. But this is the wave of the future. I'd be interested if you could ask your next two guests, Sherman and Grok, what they think about that, JT. And I'll be there Friday night at JLD's at the One Fake.
See you there, man. Have a good one. And I don't know how, thanks for the call, this works that much, but I can ask anything to Grok. Grok, who's going to win the Super Bowl played in 2026 in San Francisco? So you could ask into your phone, who's going to win the Super Bowl in Santa Clara in 2026? Okay. Let's see what it says. Detroit. Wow. Oh, my phone. My phone. So that was fast. It's impossible to predict with certainty who will win the Super Bowl. And it goes down this list. Teams like Philadelphia, Kansas City, Detroit. And it goes on to ramble about Detroit. Maybe this is the way. Maybe instead of listening to a gambling show telling you who to bet on, maybe it's right there on your AI Grok on your phone. And Mikey's the only one who figured it out. Is he the only guy that figured that out? That sounds sharp. Hey, Lee Sterling, hold on, Bobby, before you play me out. I want to see which games he's going to pick. So Lee Sterling's going to come on every Thursday at this time. And here's what he's picking. He's going to give us Notre Dame, Miami, Alabama, Florida State, Nebraska, Cincinnati, and his game of the week is Boise State versus South Florida. So that will come up next. We're brought to you by Raisin Cane's Chicken Fingers. Hey, Rebels, it's tailgate time. You're 1-0. Game day's calling. Keep it up. And Raisin Cane's is bringing the party. Whether you're tailgating outside the stadium or you're hosting a watch party when the Rebels are on the road, Cane's tailgates are the real MVP. We're talking hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers, the legendary Cane sauce and the crispy crinkle-cut fries, buttery Texas toast, jugs of lemonade and iced tea. That's your game day leveling up. Raisin Cane's Chicken Fingers, official chicken fingers of the UNLV Rebel. Go Rebels. All right, let's get going with Lee Sterling. He'll join us next. Joe Lisi, great college football insider, next hour. And the podcaster who's joining us this year is an insider. Remember, I joined radio as a caller. Wasted Talent comes back next hour to give you his opinions on the Raiders. Excited about that. Walk me through these Raider moves. Let's start with Pete Carroll and what you know of him, the SC connection, and why he's the right guy for us now.
Love Pete's enthusiasm. I think he's a brilliant coach. He has a great way to motivate guys. Pete's been around for a while. He understands people, and I think he knows how to get the best out of people. So I'm looking forward to him. They got Chip Kelly, who I've known for a long time. He used to interview Chip when I was doing college football, so I used to talk to him quite a bit and stuff, and I love what he's done. I think Tom has made some really good decisions and stuff, yeah.
Marcus Allen, the last time he joined me, as we talked about the new regime. JT with you. Lee Sterling is a great friend. Paramount Sports, ParamountSports.com. He's kind enough to join us every week, and he gives us a bonus week because NFL starts next week, but he's a big college guy. Lee and the U, you know Miami, the U's got a big one. Man, they're a live dog down at the U, huh?
They are, and the place is going to be hopping. I'm hearing they're going to open up the tailgate at 8 in the morning for a 7:30 at night game. So, you know, everyone remembers that 2017 game where Miami and Notre Dame were both in the top 10, and Miami thrashed them 41-8. So the joint is going to be rocking. Miami's not going to be as explosive on offense as last year with Cam Ward, but Carson Beck, I think, is going to be fine. Mm-hmm. People forget that going into last year, he was rated by some people as a top quarterback in the country and a potential first pick, but things didn't work out, didn't have a great season. His receivers didn't hold on to the ball, but he's going to do it with a top offensive line here, top five, and also a bevy of running backs. Some young receivers, so they might take their time getting it going, throwing the ball. But defensively, that's where I think Miami might make the biggest jump. Here they brought in Corey Heatherman from Minnesota and did a miraculous job with mediocre talent. I think the Irish is going to be good, and I like C.J. Carr. But you're going to ask a kid in his first game in college football to settle in and beat Miami? Not happening here. Wrong team favored. Miami outright 23-20.
Miami outright over Notre Dame. And I was going to say, I think Notre Dame recruits better for a number of reasons. But Miami, fair to say, worked the portal a little bit better. You don't hear much about Notre Dame and the portal. They're very similar to other coaches that want to keep their players. Dabo does that a lot. I'll recruit you. I'm going to keep you. Don't look at the portal. So I think Notre Dame has the advantage, but you can tell us. You're picking Miami to win outright. Did they have a good offseason in the portal and getting players to believe in the U?
They did, and you know, the thing was they just couldn't make a change in yeah. season last year. Their defense had a lot of injuries, but Mario can coach. It's the end game coaching that leaves a lot to be desired.
All right, let's move to our next game, and it's a big one. Alabama will play at -13.5 against Florida State. Florida State's been in the news the last couple of years just for slow starts and bad things happening, injuries and all of that, but they're also a power over the decades here, but Alabama and their players and their recruiting, with a coach who's got to win, which I would assume would mean win right out of the gate. Who do you like in this one?
Yeah, so Alabama and Kalen DeBoer, they went through a lot of changes last year. I mean, replacing a legend is tough. He couldn't bring over his offensive coordinator, Ryan Grubb, moved on to the Seattle Seahawks, but he's back. And I think that's going to be a big plus for them. Florida State, 2 years ago, they were an injury away from their quarterback and playing in the national championship game. Last year, 2-10, and they looked horrible. They knew they needed a quarterback. They went out and got Boston College transfer, Thomas Castellanos. But I think he's just fine. I mean, his best game last year was against Florida State, where he scored and led his offense to 28 points in every other game against Division I teams, 23 points or less. So I don't know if FSU got the right guy here. And if they fall behind, he is not a pocket passer, more of a guy that scrambles around. And he was talking smack all offseason here. Sometimes you got to lay it if you want to play it. Bama big. Roll Tide. Bama 38-20.
Bama wins and they cover the 13.5 point spread. Lee Sterling, go right now to ParamountSports.com. He's transparent. He will talk to you. He's available. He's been doing this with me longer than anybody. I trust him like a brother. Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com. Nebraska, Cincinnati will play the Huskers -6.5 with Matt Rhule. I had a guest on from ACC Network on the Mad Dog Show the other night who's high on Clemson, but also said he loves what Matt Rhule is doing now with the comfort that he has now settling in at Nebraska. I don't know the quality of players that he has there, but a 6.5 point favorite for them, and this is a game he can't afford to lose. He's got to get the entire state behind him. This is a game I would think they got to feel pretty confident in against Natty.
Well, they're going to have certainly a lot of fan support here tonight in Kansas City. Probably have close to 90 or 95% of the fans at this game. I love what he did late in the season last year. Last four games, went out and got Dana Holgorsen. And this is a guy that is a great offensive coordinator, not so great head coach. As an offensive coordinator, took Oklahoma State in 1 year from 70th in yards per game to number three. First year at West Virginia, led the Mountaineers to the Big East Championship. So I think he's going to be a big, big plus for them on offense. I think they've got the quarterback in Dylan Raiola. You know, he felt good after a couple games. He's like, oh, this isn't so tough. And then teams started game planning for him. Their talent wasn't as good, but they're recruiting now. Top 20 classes and recruiting, also top 20 portal class here. Cincinnati, they just don't have the game breakers on offense. They need long, methodical drives. And what happens when that happens? Yeah, a lot of turnovers and also penalties. They were -4 in turnovers last year. Cincinnati just 5-15 straight up versus power conference teams under Scott Satterfield. They need a breakthrough. Not happening tonight here. Nebraska by double digits, 30-20.
ParamountSports.com. I have it on my phone. I'm looking at it now. All the videos, all the content. It never stops. You can watch on YouTube. On top of that, Lee Sterling. So, Lee, the last college football game I went to was at Boise State as Ashton Genty. Yeah. They won the Mountain West over UNLV. UNLV really struggled against Idaho State. When we look at Boise State without Ashton Genty, I know you got some information here. It's your game of the week. They're -6 against a gritty, gutty South Florida team. How do we get it?
Yep. And it starts in an hour and a half. You want to get the game for free and start it for your college season with a nice winner. Just call 800-400-9741. First 10 callers, get it for free. 800-400-9741. And you want to hop on board. 30 of the 31 years have been winning seasons at Paramount Sports. Check out all the sports and all the different specials we have. Just one place, ParamountSports.com.
You're done paying for weddings, right? The wedding video you sent me was incredible.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I still got one more. The young one, the singer, might be happening in another year. So,
That was good.
We'll see if they make the national news again.
You got it, buddy. Take care. That's Lee Sterling, right. Paramount Sports. His older daughter got married, and the groom, they were doing their vows. And the groom did something really cool. I'm going to keep it private, but he was reading something that was really fun. And Lee shared it with me. So that's what we had. Good first hour of calls and insight. Wasted Talent will join us at 1:10. Joe Lisi will join us at the bottom of next hour. He's excellent at college football. He'll have some plays and some leans for you, too. Wanted to let you know that the Black Hole is accepting new memberships. This is a priority. This is one of those things that I'm telling you I need you to do today, tonight, tomorrow. Go to theblackhole.com, 20% off all website purchases. If you become a member for $60, less than that, you're a lifetime member. So how cool would it be to walk into the Raider home game on Monday Night Football with a new Black Hole shirt on, going up to the people in the Black Hole and saying, I'm a Black Hole member. They're all going to welcome you, hug you, say welcome to the Black Hole. Do that, you'll thank me for it. It's that good of a deal. Mark Jones and the Black Hole, proud partner of the show. All right, so when we come back, Bobby, we're going to sit here and we got a good hour of content left. We're going to get in from Marcus Allen is our alumni today, along with Howie Long. So next hour, it's about Howie and where he was drafted and why and what his accomplishments were. And then we got a couple of more, and then it will lead to the number one. All these guys that I'm mentioning don't have a number next to them. Marcus is the same as Howie. You know, we look at these names, they're all pretty much the same. Except for number one. Who will number one be on my all-time Raiders draft picks? And that'll be the hook to close out the summer. Last weekend, I hope a lot of people are getting out of town for Labor Day or coming into town for Labor Day. If you're looking for a room and a great place to dine and go to the pool, it's the M Resort Spa and Casino. It's the official hotel of the Silver and Black.